Peter. Lord, we've seen, I love that saying that says that Christ paid a debt he didn't owe because I owed a debt I couldn't pay. We could not, for all eternity, we could not pay off the sin debt that we owed. And yet, with one sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, Christ paid for the sin for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful for the fact that I serve a God that wasn't willing to leave me where I was. I'm thankful that I serve a God that says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray that if there's anybody here today or anybody watching online that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, can I say this to you? Time is running out. Regardless of health or how young you are, time is running out. We do not know what's around the corner. With the atrocities that take place in the world today, when you see what's happened over in Thailand with our nursery, and you see what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, and you look at what's happening in terms of end time events, the Lord's return is close. My question is this: if the Lord Jesus Christ was to return today, would you be raptured with him as part of his church, as part of his bride, as part of his body? Or would you be left behind to face the wrath of God, which is what we're going to talk about in a minute, the day of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation? You know, people often say, oh yeah, well, you know, I've got plenty of time ahead of me to decide whether or not to be a Christian, make a deathbed conversion, or we don't know what's around the corner, let alone how long we've got left on this earth in terms of our health. The Lord could return at any moment. Are you ready? Malachi. We're going to finish off the study in Malachi today, and the title of today's message is simply The End of Act 1. This brings the curtain down on the Old Testament. This brings the Old Testament to a close, and it ends with a curse. The rabbis have tried to change this. I think they add in verse 5 after verse 6 so that they don't have to end God's word with a curse. But that's exactly how he ends up the Old Testament. And here's the thing. If the Old Testament didn't end with a curse, then the New Testament couldn't begin with a promise. The Old Testament has to end with a curse because the law just brings a curse. The Lord is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Christ is the one that took the curse upon him. Cursed is he, anyone that hangeth upon a tree. Christ took the curse of the Lord upon him, fulfilled it to the letter, so that we could be set free from the law, that we could be redeemed. And what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the righteous ones. You know, we spent almost the whole time of Malachi kind of bashing people. You know, they ask question after question. They complain to God and they said, oh, wherein hast thou loved us? Wherein have we robbed thee? Wherein have we polluted thee? Wherein have we weeded thee? Wherein shall we return? Wherein have we done this? Wherein have we said that? What's the problem with the way in which we live in? And we've kind of looked at the negative aspect of this. But there is a positive aspect to these last closing verses of Malachi. God always has a remnant. God always has a remnant. You know, sometimes we feel like we are the only ones serving the Lord. We feel like we're the only ones, that we're on our own, and that, you know, nobody else is doing right. We're a salmon swimming up the stream. And guess what? Whilst we might not be in the majority in the world's viewpoint, God still has a remnant. He always will have a remnant until he returns. And finally, there will be a majority upon the earth. The Old Testament is coming to a close, and I want to talk for a moment about what God has to say about the righteous ones. We're going to close we're going to finish off chapter 3 and then read right the way through to the end of chapter 4. In verse 16 of chapter 3, it says, then they that feared the Lord. Remember, up until this point, we've had people saying, but the wicked are prospering, and what's the point in serving God, and the priests are doing this. Then Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the Lord of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your incredible love. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, for your unfathomable mercy. Father, we are thankful for the fact that we belong to you, who know Christ as our Savior. Father, we're thankful that we're saved from the curse of the law. We're thankful that we're saved from the wrath that is to come. We're thankful that your judgment that was due us was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary. But Father, I pray that you would help us today. Whilst we take comfort from these verses, that the righteous ones will indeed be remembered, we ask that you would challenge us. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return today, we understand that the church would be raptured, but those that we love will be left behind will face unimaginable horrors as God's wrath, his undiluted wrath, is poured out upon this earth. So, Father, would you help us today? Help us to take comfort in the fact that we are saved, that we're secure, that we're safe in the Savior's arms. But would you challenge us to be mindful of those around us who have yet to trust Christ as their Savior? Because we recognize the fact that time is running out. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time. Help us to realize that we are here on this earth for such a time as this, that we might do all that we can to save some before the Lord returns. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. The people said that it was useless to serve God, that it was useless to walk mournfully before God. And they resurrected the same old agnostic argument that the wicked prospered and that those who provoke God by deliberate impiety escape judgment. You know, it's the same argument today. If there's a God, why doesn't he just strike me down with lightning? And we need to remind those that ask that question, because at the moment you're in a day of grace. But there will come a time when people will beg the rocks on the earth to fall upon them, because God's judgment is raining upon the earth. The spiritual condition of the Jewish people at this time literally spoke of the fact that they were ripe for judgment. Although there was not a cloud on the horizon, judgment was indeed on its way. But there was a righteous remnant. First of all, we see that the righteous ones are remembered in verse 16. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. When the wicked flourish, here we see the righteous close ranks. Here we see the righteous talking to one another. How incredible it is that when we go through times of difficulty as believers in Christ, we find comfort from talking to one another. You know, we can be in the workplace and people in work can kind of give us counsel and can give us advice. But when you have godly counsel and godly advice from brothers and sisters in the Lord, it's completely different. You know, when we come back from a men's retreat or a ladies' retreat or a youth camp, there's an excitement. You know, you are literally bubbling. Hannah had been on a ladies' retreat with her church this week, and she got home yesterday, and she just couldn't wait, to phone and say, "Oh, this is what they talked about, and this is what they said, and this is what happened, and we were talking about this, and we were talking about that." And we literally, when we come back from a weekend or a week like that, we're ready to take on the world. But it doesn't take long then for that spark to dissipate. Why? Because we go back into the world, and then we're back with our work colleagues, and we're with work colleagues and people who are unsaved for a far greater amount of time in our week than we're with people who are part of our family. And again, I'm never going to make an excuse for this. And I'm always going to say the same thing. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Christ lived and died for the church. It is not here just to fill up a few moments of time. It is here for a purpose. I understand that people can't make church when they're unwell. I get that. I understand people can't make church when they're away. I get that. But what's the other excuse? You know, we ought to be in church. Why? Because it helps us. And it does help to talk with one another. I get excited on the door when people are coming out and they say, "Oh, I had this witnessing encounter this week, and the Lord spoke to me in this way this week." And that encourages me. And there may be somebody here who is struggling with something, and the person behind you is the answer to your prayer, because they're going to be the one that God has sent to encourage you. That's what they did. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They encouraged one another. They helped one another. They loved one another. Why? Because they were a small minority in amongst a group of people that wanted nothing to do with God, so worshipping Him and serving Him as a waste of time. That sounds like today. The righteous ones were remembered. The righteous ones were rewarded. You know, oftentimes we might think, what's the point? And that's what we looked at last week, didn't we? What's the point? What's the point in serving for the Lord? What's the point in suffering for the Lord? Why is it that when I do this that bad things happen to me, and when I step out in faith, all of this goes wrong? The righteous ones are rewarded. And you know, we might not be rewarded here on earth. I don't want to be rewarded on earth. I want the Lord to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to be presented with those crowns. Why? So I can take them and put them at the Lord's feet. And say, "Lord, I did this for you. Not for me, not for recognition, not for personal gain, not for monetary value. I did this for you." And the righteous ones will be rewarded. We might not get a single thanks on this earth for serving the Lord. But that's not our goal. Our goal is not to get thanks on earth. We're to store up our treasures in heaven. You know, God referred to the righteous ones here, the ones who loved Him, as His jewels. How incredible that He said that that day I will make up my jewels and I will spare them. Can I say that, our reward as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that we won't face God's wrath? We won't face God's judgment. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ already did. You know, you think of what God has created. You think of the vast galaxies that are in space. You think of the precious minerals that are in the earth. You think of the monetary value that's placed on gold and silver and diamonds and rubies and emeralds and whatever. And the countless expanse of space that God just spoke into existence. And yet He says, "You are my jewels." Last week we saw that we are a